Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that, stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Won't leave you guessing today. No Brian this afternoon. It's just Luke. But I am joined by Evan on the board. Thank you, Evan. You on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. And by Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, joining me here in studio. We're broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios in Madison, the near west side. It's a pretty... We're getting some nice sun still. But you're listening to us in Madison on Devil Radio, 92.7 FM, WTTN, 1580 AM. In Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM. And in Richland Center, on Radio from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM, 107.7 FM. And on the Civic Media app, which you can download where fine apps are downloaded. How are we doing this afternoon, Matt?
I'm doing well, Luke. Thanks for having me in again. It's always fun to come in the studio and talk with you and your listeners.
And always appreciate you when you're able to take the time out of your afternoon and join us here for the 2 o'clock hour, especially on days like today, because we've got some news on what's going on with a response to claims last week by U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. When referring to a national abortion ban that was brought up by South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, saying that there should be a federal policy on abortion and ban it after 15 weeks, referred to it incorrectly as a late-term abortion ban, something that previously was scripted at 20 weeks, I believe, in proposals that Senator Johnson had signed on to starting in 2013 and several other times until 2021. But Senator Johnson kind of walked back that past support for such proposals of a federal ban, saying that after Dobbs, it should be left to the states. More or less incorrectly saying that the people should vote on it through referendum. But here in Wisconsin, referendums are non-binding. They're more advisory for our elected officials in Wisconsin. And so today, if you hadn't heard yet, Governor Tony Evers is calling for a special session for Wisconsin state lawmakers to give Wisconsinites the ability to have direct referendums to change state law. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, Matt, because you've got a book out, 12 Ways to Save Democracy, and you had the foresight to say, hey, this is a way to save democracy.
Well, Luke, it's nice of you to mention that. Yeah, chapter 7 of this book is called Give Us Direct Democracy. And it was always a puzzle to me why we don't have direct democracy, why we don't have the power of referendum or plebiscite here in Wisconsin, as they do in many other states. For instance, in Ohio, I mean, this came to a lot of people's attention here in Wisconsin after Act 10, because Ohio copied Walker's horrendous attack on public sector workers. And the voters in Ohio said, we don't want this. We have the power of referendum. We're going to throw that ugly piece of legislation, anti-worker legislation, out the door. And they did so by referendum. Or the people in Michigan said, we're sick of gerrymandering. We want to ban it. They put it on the referendum. They have binding referendums in Michigan like they do in Ohio. And they got rid of gerrymandering.
Well, even states like Florida, in I believe it was 2018 or 2020, did a expansion of voter rights, returning it to previously convicted individuals that lost their voter franchisement, and the people of Florida said no, that's not acceptable.
They wanted to enfranchise the formerly incarcerated in Florida, so mm-hmm. That was a good thing too. And so I was puzzling when I was writing this book, how come we don't have direct democracy here in Wisconsin? How come we don't have the power of referendum like they do in other states, when we were, you know, the pioneers of progressive legislation back in the early part of the 1900s with Fighting Bob La Follette? And what I discovered was that actually in 1911, a progressive governor named Francis McGovern tried to introduce this, the initiative and referendum he proposed, saying we should embody but one idea, that of placing the people in actual control of public affairs. And, of course, to get this in, it's got to pass two sessions of the legislature and then go to the people. And it actually went to the people of Wisconsin in 1914, and they voted it down.
Okay.
And I found that puzzling, too. So I made a few calls and did a little bit of searching, as we do. And what I found was this answer from the website of the Initiative and Referendum Institute at the University of Southern California. Who knew? Anyway.
That's an oddly specific institute, but okay.
Never heard of it before until I did some research. So it said, after 13 years in power, the progressives had become overconfident. In the 1913 legislature, they passed a series of big tax increases to finance an ambitious public works program, as well as giving final approval to a constitutional amendment raising their own salaries. This amendment went on the November 1914 ballot, along with the referendum amendment and eight others. And after paying higher taxes in 1914, this was the problem, they shouldn't have coupled it with increasing their own salaries, the voters had their fill of the liberal reformers and all their works, and all the amendments on the 1914 ballot went down.
Failed.
So, but the interesting thing to me is, so this was proposed in 1911. Here we are, 111 years later, and another governor is proposing to give the people of Wisconsin this power. We should have this power.
Yeah, it's absolutely, and in recent years, we've seen this, the type of referendum, a non-binding, that we currently do have in Wisconsin, a way for voters across the state to advocate for ideas that they want, and we've seen support behind those.
Well, look, we've had 54 counties out of the 72 counties pass referendums or resolutions saying they want to ban gerrymandering. We have 162 communities or 167 communities now in Wisconsin who have passed referendums, non-binding, or resolutions saying that Wisconsin should go on record as opposing the Citizens United decision in the U.S. Supreme Court of 2010, and that we should do something formal about amending the U.S. Constitution to declare finally that, you know what, corporations aren't persons and money actually isn't speech. So the question really on the floor right now is, should the people of Wisconsin get a direct say in public affairs? I mean, we have, 83% of Wisconsinites want to give women or make sure that women have the right to an abortion in cases of rape and incest. Only 10% oppose that idea. And yet the law on the books in Wisconsin says if you're a woman who's been victimized by rape or incest, you can't get an abortion. At what point do the people in a democracy, a majority, a vast majority, at what point do we get what we want?
Yes, and that's an excellent question. And I think it's important to point out that gubernatorial candidate Republican Tim Michaels said that 1849 law is an exact mirror of his position on it.
Yeah, he's in line with 10% of the people of Wisconsin, actually, and only 20% of Republicans agree with him on that one. That's the astonishing thing about how Neanderthal Tim Michaels' position is on abortion. Only 20% of Republicans agree with him.
Correct. And so I found it interesting that Governor Tony Evers made the call for this special session. And folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian on the air today, but we are joined by Matt Rothschild of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign talking about this announcement from Evers. So the special session is going to be Tuesday, October 4th. I know that there was some clarity there. Originally called for, I believe, Wednesday the 5th, and it is now on the calendar for October 4th. We've already heard, though, that the legislative leaders, Republican legislative leaders in here for the legislature, are calling it a political stunt, which I find, I guess, an interesting classification for what Evers is calling for, because really Evers is just calling Senator Johnson's bluff. Right. Senator Johnson said this is how Wisconsinites should have the ability to change if they don't like the 1849 law.
That's
how
the people of each state decide. Well, that's what Evers is proposing. Let us decide.
Yes, and there's still time left in this calendar year for a session to count now and then go before the legislature again next session and have those two consecutive sessions to get this quickly before the people so that they, because for a constitutional amendment to happen, like you mentioned, it has to be two consecutive sessions, and then it goes to a vote. And so the fact that it can sometimes be hard to get some work done by this legislature, who pretty much folded in everything, called it a day back in March.
Nice work if you can get it.
Yeah. And so I think it's fascinating that it's being lauded as a political stunt by Robin Voss, Devin LeMahieu, and the Republicans in the legislature.
And speaking of stunts, you know what they're going to do. They're going to come in and gavel it out.
That's
in 30 seconds.
Exactly where I was going.
That's
with it.
That's the biggest stunt of all, and they've done that stunt innumerable times already.
And do you believe that the aspect of this special session, the fact that Senator Johnson was the one that laid the groundwork saying that this is the proposal that Wisconsinites should take, do you believe that's going to have any effect on what's going to take place on October 4th then? Or do you believe this is going to be a quick 10 seconds, gaveled in, gaveled out, and the Republican legislative leaders are going to call it a day?
Oh, it's gavel in, gavel out for sure. And I'm a betting man. I'm willing to bet almost any amount of money on that sucker.
All right, fair enough. I am not a gambling man, so that is good to hear from you. That is a bet that you feel pretty confident in taking, because I'd like to say maybe it's the optimist in me, but I have a feeling.
No way.
When it comes to Wisconsin politics, Robin Voss does tend to make sure that he can hold on to power whatever way he can, and this would transfer power in the state. It would be a fundamental transfer.
And it would be important on a whole range of issues, not just abortion. Medical marijuana, more than 80% of Wisconsinites want the ability, if they have some terminal illness or a loved one has some terminal illness, to alleviate the sickness, at least the symptoms of the sickness, and provide legal marijuana to their friend or loved one.
More than 50 counties, like you mentioned. I believe that represents more than a majority of the population here in Wisconsin as well, voting to outlaw gerrymandering. So it would effectively
create. I mean, there are just so many things that have the vast majority of Wisconsinites behind them that we just can't get enacted right now because of gerrymandering and money in politics and other anti-democratic things that are happening in this Wisconsin and this country. But direct democracy is a way around that, and that's why we need it.
Yeah. I believe it would be the antidote, and somebody had the foresight to put it as a chapter in their book, 12 Ways to Save Democracy. We got several other headlines that we're going to get into here in Wisconsin. We've got some updates. I'd love to get your reaction on Gableman, and some news out of New York as well today. So we're going to get into that and some more, as well
fun
as your
news.
Phone calls. 844-967-2789. This is Dueling Tangents. We'll be right back. Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon. He is at an undisclosed location. But I can tell you this. The hint of where Brian is today, farthest north I believe he's been yet, and this endeavor that we're having here at Civic Media. So he had a bit of a car ride that he had to do today, and unfortunately won't be able to join us on the airwaves. But we are joined by Matt Rothschild of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign in Brian's absence. And I always feel bad because Brian loves talking to you as well. And so
you'll have to invite me back.
I would say he regrets when he can't be here for the appearances that you make, because he's like, oh, I want to ask Matt. And he did mention one thing today. Joe Biden speaking before the UN, talking about dark money and the involvement between that, Ukraine and Russia. And he's like, oh, well, we'll have to save the dark money questions from Brian for another appearance when he's here to ask them. But one of the things earlier this week that occurred that had me reach out to you, because I saw this and I was like, you know whose reaction I've got to get on this story? It's got to be Matt Rothschild. Because Michael Gableman is in the news again. And not only for last week having the calls that he made for the Tree of Liberty to be watered by blood, which is just revolting. It's calling for a revolution.
Armed revolution.
Very similar to the pitchforks and torches comments made by Tim Michaels when he got upset that news outlets were reporting on contributions that he made from his private foundation to anti-LGBT and anti-abortion groups. Besides those things, since then, Michael Gableman is now also temporarily, he alleges, representing Harry Waite, who admitted to committing voter fraud in Racine County. Michael Gableman is representing him in court, Matt, and I'd love to hear your reaction to somebody that for 14 months went and sought out voter fraud, overturned every rock. I know he did. He was looking for it everywhere. He was looking for it in South Dakota. He was looking for it in Arizona. Everywhere he could go to find voter fraud in Wisconsin, he went. And now that he's been fired by Robin Voss, he's found it and he's representing it in Racine County Court.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, this guy is such a publicity hound and a shameless one at that. He's got no principles whatsoever. He's acted like a buffoon while he was on our payroll and ever since getting off that payroll. I mean, he did a invocation when Trump was around down in Waukesha, praising God, literally praising God for giving us Trump and giving Trump wisdom, which is something you can chew on for a long time. And now he's defending Harry Waite. This is the guy from the right-wing group in southeastern Wisconsin called HOT. And Harry Waite is the guy who was impersonating Robin Voss and Corey Mason to the Wisconsin Elections Commission to get an absentee ballot in their names, which is a crime. I'm glad that Josh Call and the prosecutors at the Department of Justice here in the state of Wisconsin decided to prosecute. Of course, the sheriff down there wouldn't arrest him. The sheriff was glad he did what he did. Ron Johnson was glad that he did what
he
did.
He was praising him, too.
Unbelievable. And these guys, these law and order guys, not so much for law and order when it's one of their own. And so here we have Gableman inserting himself yet again. I mean, my worry is that Gableman's going to throw his hat into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race that's happening this spring. There's already a Republican former justice on the Wisconsin Supreme Court who's running. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if Gableman decides to run, because he just loves to see his name in the paper and his face on the TV screen.
I was going to say, I've said here on this program that I have a feeling this whole thing is Gableman's attempt to rehabilitate his image as a no longer a former state Supreme Court justice then, but somebody that's fighting all of these conservative fights. And he's going and he's looking for voter fraud when he says that Mark Zuckerberg or Zuckerbucks, whatever he was alleging, the center
for using that phrase a lot. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's got real anti-Semitic overtones.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he plays footsie with the far right racists and anti-Semites. So he knows what he's doing when he's using those terms
too. And then he goes from taking that stance and saying that there was widespread fraud despite the inability to prove it. He had several opportunities to submit reports to the Wisconsin legislature and he missed those deadlines and he continued to drag on.
But you know, the thing is, all his constant lying about it and all Trump's constant lying about it has had some effect. I was speaking to the Kiwanis Club of Western of Madison on the West Side a couple of weeks ago, and there were some folks there after I gave my speech about how democracy's at risk from Trump, from the Trump lie, from the white nationalists. And there were folks, decent folks there, who raised questions afterward. Well, what about this voting? I mean, there's got to be something there. I mean, because the more they repeated this big lie, the more it had some ability to grab onto some folks.
It festers, yeah.
And so, I took a couple of these guys outside and we talked for a half hour afterwards and I just tried to explain that there's really nothing there, that the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, this horrendously right-wing group of pretty smart lawyers, couldn't put out a report where they said there was nothing that they could find about someone who voted illegally. So if they can't find it, you know, there's absolutely no fire here. And yet people are still believing it. That's how propaganda works. You know, if you repeat a big lie, and that was Goebbels' whole theory. Have a big lie and repeat it as often as you can.
Yeah, to as many people as will listen. And unfortunately, I think you're right. There is an effect that has happened and we're seeing it with election officials. They're concerned. We're seeking increased security for election officials here in Dane County and around the state.
Yeah, I'm glad Milwaukee yesterday, the city of Milwaukee passed resolutions that saying that they were going to defend poll workers and poll watchers and that they're mindful of the threats that are out there. I mean, the Milwaukee city clerk was getting death threats. That's how outrageous this propaganda has become. That's how dangerous it's become.
Yes. And then when there's actual instances of voter fraud, like with Harry Waite, all of a sudden Gableman is standing there next to him defending him in Racine County.
You know, I think the irony is lost on Gableman. I don't think he has the capacity to feel irony, to recognize hypocrisy, or to understand what a fool he's made of himself.
I don't know. The way that he's smiling, I think he gets it. I think he absolutely is just swerving into it, and he, like you said, he just wants to be in print, and he wants to be on TV.
And he wants to further the far-right agenda, the far-right anti-democracy agenda. And he's doing so, even though it's tremendously hypocritical.
Yeah. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We're going to get into a story about what's happening with New York when we get back, as well as your phone calls, 844-967-2789. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon, he is at an undisclosed location, but you are listening on Devil Radio 92.7 FM WTTN 1580 AM here in Madison, live from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's near west side. You're also listening in Waukesha on the Shaw 101 FM WAUK 540 AM, that beast of the east, that 540 AM signal. You can be listening all the way from the state line in the Kenosha Racine area all the way up to Green Bay. So wherever you're listening on 540, we welcome you. We also welcome our friends in Richland Center, kicking off last Friday, launching Radio from the Center, WRCE 1450 AM, 107.7 FM. And if you want to join the show, you can at any time share your tangent with us. 844-967-2789. You can be like our friend Mark from Prairie du Sac calling in. Mark, what's on your mind this afternoon?
Yeah, well, apologies for this morning. If I was less than artful in my comments, I didn't think I was lying when I was talking to Matt Flynn this morning, that as Gary claimed I was. But Matt brought up the anti-Semitism that we're seeing that kind of permeated. It's on both sides, but it seems more from the right now, that they throw the little things out there like Zuckerberg and George Soros and all this, and these little code words that... You know, I find deeply disturbing. And like I said, I've been trying to process. I've been watching some of the program on the Holocaust that's been going on PBS, and some of the imagery there is just a refresher on some of the stuff I learned years ago, and then just kind of reinforces and puts more detail into it. Is just that how bad things can go for a democracy that when it's ignored. I mean, and the calls for violence that we hear from. Not just Michael Gableman, all over on and it does happen on both sides of.
And I don't think we need to have to say both sides, Mark. It's very much. There is one political side that is calling. We're seeing it with Tim Michaels calling for pitchforks and torches against media outlets. Michael Gableman saying that the terrible quote calling for revolution, a bloody revolution. We've also heard it from Ron Johnson, who downplayed the domestic terrorists on January 6th as tourists, said that he saw them walking within the rope lines and things of that nature. So,
and it was blood and soil that Hitler said. I mean that not to call them not to call them Hitlers or that, but I mean that I just see really disturbing echoes of what I've been seeing on the program on PBS and what I know, remember of history, that Henry Ford republishing the protocols of the Elders of Zion and his own anti-Semitic screeds that he did, that getting a medal from the Nazis, as did Charles Lindbergh, that it is just disturbing. And, you know, that I'm not accusing these guys of it, but it just... And perhaps I stated it inartfully this morning, but I mean, it just seems—it's scary when I see disturbing echoes of what happened then, as I see echoing today. I mean, that we are that.
Mark, I Matt Rothschild here. I just want to jump in and agree with you. I saw this morning that one of the guys who's being prosecuted for his involvement of January 6th said he wanted all the Jews to leave the United States. And so this is out there, just as you were right, Mark, in mentioning the way the right uses George Soros as kind of a a patella hammer for anti-Semitism. And Trump himself, in his horrific speech in Ohio this weekend, last weekend that I was just reading a few hours ago, talked about the globalists. And globalists is sometimes a shorthand wink and a nod to the anti-Semites out there as well. So I do think there is some code here on the right that we need to be mindful of and recognize that they are feasting on folks' racism and folks' anti-Semitism. And that's what the white nationalists are all about. Of course, some of these Proud Boys were wearing shirts that with initials that signified 6 million wasn't enough, signifying that Adolf Hitler should have killed more than 6 million Jews. These are the folks who were in on that January 6th coup attempt. And no effort should be made to minimize their hateful and very dangerous rhetoric.
Yeah, and the QAnon conspiracy theory has become kind of a catch-all, where it is the top conspiracy theory that starts folding in all these other ones. And so you get a very wide arrangement of people finding the QAnon, and then it kind of streamlines to the Trump rally, where you see him winking and nodding and outright playing a QAnon conspiracy theory song at his rally in Ohio.
QAnon salute going on in the crowd.
And he was sending out photos with himself wearing a QAnon pin. And so there is definitely a subtle embrace of it going on.
And QAnon has the blood libel of liberals and Democrats and progressives, you know, drinking the blood of babies, which is right out of the protocols of the Elders of Zion, where Jews were drinking the blood, of babies. And so the echoes there are really loud if you're paying attention to them. And the far right knows exactly what they're doing when they're using these echoes.
Right. And one thing that Brian and I discuss here on Dueling Tangents all the time is that it is next to impossible to compromise with somebody that has that view, because you can't compromise halfway with somebody that thinks that where you're coming from is that you drink blood and do these crazy things that these conspiracy theories have. So you can only compromise to so many points. And so we're seeing now, though, that it's going to be interesting of what's going to happen with the former guy, the former president.
Well, the walls are closing in on him. I mean, I know.
And quickly here, Matt, quickly.
I know you and Crudy are waiting for Merrick Garland Day, but today was Letitia James Day.
Yeah.
Well,
she teed it up for Merrick Garland as well. She left a little room to not steal all of his thunder. And so there is an option out there that soon, very soon, that could be Merrick Garland Day. But you were right. Today is Letitia James Day, because the New York Attorney General, Letitia James, announced the... Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Was it charges? I only got to start to review this one.
It's a 200-page civil lawsuit against Trump that would prevent him from getting loans from any financial institution in New York or running any business that whose papers are located in New York. But she also said she's uncovered some criminal liability at the state level and some federal criminal liability that she's referring to the Justice Department in the Southern District of New York.
Okay, and that would be the avenue to tee it up for Merrick Garland.
Right.
But it's not just Donald Trump, the former president, that is the subject of this 200-plus page investigation. It is also the children of the former president, but not all the children. I don't believe Tiffany or Barron are included in it, but the three other Trump children are also subjects of this investigation. And it seems like there was just flat outright lying by Trump and his children to overinflate business value to avoid taxes overinflate it to receive loans, underinflate it to avoid taxes. And so where do we believe this is going to go next? Because this is on top of the classified document investigation that's going on in Florida right now that has also been moved up with this special master to New York. There's also the January 6th House Select Committee that is reviewing the former president's role in leading up to the big lie that was led up to January 6th and the violence that was committed on January 6th. And so there are several different... You also got the Fulton County DA in Georgia that is investigating the extortion, I believe, is the crime being investigated there for Brad Raffensperger telling Trump telling Raffensperger to find the 11,000 some votes.
780.
Yeah, and so the walls are closing in. What are your thoughts on today's announcement and where we go from here now?
Yeah, it's just not one shoe that's going to fall on Trump. It's a whole shelf of shoes that are falling on Trump's head right now. And I don't see how he gets away. I don't think he's going to get away in Georgia, because finally 11,780 votes is
pretty direct.
Real good proof if you're putting it before a jury. And I don't think he's going to get away with the classified documents. I mean, the special master is no pushover, as we found out yesterday. I mean, Judge Deary was telling him, you know, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Are you going to substantiate the claim that Trump declassified these documents or not? And the Trump lawyers couldn't substantiate it. So he's in trouble there. He's in real trouble on January 6th. I think, except for these latest New York charges, that Merrick Garland, shortly after the November election, is going to roll as many indictments as possible into one very pretty package for us to open up. And Trump is going to be indicted for seditious conspiracy, for interfering with the lawful function of Congress, to wit, the Electoral College, and also election tampering. I think he'll fold in some of the Georgia stuff. And Trump is going to be, you know, indicted. And then we'll really have Merrick Garland Day.
I'm waiting for Merrick Garland Day. It's circled on the calendar. We don't know what day it's going to be, but it's circled on the calendar when it comes.
Rudy's buying beers, I think.
Oh, I have a feeling it will be wall-to-wall coverage here on Dueling Tangents, on the Devil's Advocates, all across the Civic Media Network. The Merrick Garland Day is coming, because January 6th was supposed to be Merrick Garland Day. That was the whole announcement that Merrick Garland was going to be Attorney General was that day, January 6th, 2021. And so that ongoing kind of kicking the can down the road, we've been waiting for Merrick Garland Day. And it sounds like with the news out of New York today that we're getting closer and closer. We got a couple of callers here lined up, so let's try to head over to the phone lines, Matt, before our next break. We've got Mike in Sheboygan calling in. Haas, what's on your mind today?
Hey, gents, want to give a shout-out to Mark in Prairie du Sac, who just called you and expressed his concern about the PBS special, American Holocaust. That's airing right now on the public channels. Episode 2 was last night. I just want to tell you, Mark, you're not alone. You're not the only one shaking your head feeling very uncomfortable. My mom was 10 years old in 36 when the Nuremberg parade happened. My office is about 2 blocks away from the parade grounds. So maybe it's closer to us as we're a direct result of that travesty. I think most interesting in last night's episode, and they're doing the rerun, so people should not miss it if they want to see what's the connection to today. I think what they said was most of the deaths, most of the violence took place after the start of the Second World War. It took place in a very compressed time period, so most of the deaths happened within a short span of a couple of months. I know they were killing people right up to the end, even though the war had been lost. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a Lutheran pastor who was an activist, was killed on 7 April 1945, just 3 weeks before Berlin fell. And they knew that, but they did it anyways. So it's chilling. Please do not use the solo singular Merrick Garland Day. Please use it in plural. There's enough junk there to use. We can go for a week. And if we can do Summerfest over 3 weekends, if we can do Oktoberfest for 2 weeks, we can do Merrick Garland Days for at least a half a year, and I don't think having enough beer will be the problem. But, not to make light of it, that series is very chilling, and there's enough callbacks in there to remind us that, boy, this is a little uncomfortable, a little too close to home. And there are books called It Can't Happen Here, and I have to, as a direct result, a direct product of that whole episode, and my mom's sitting here shaking her head right now. Not only did it happen there when it shouldn't and couldn't have, they had every opportunity to stop it from happening. They never did stop it from happening. And by the time they already realized it was wrong and going the wrong direction, it was too late. But it took over 12 years for things to get really bad. And that's what we're kind of smelling here.
Appreciate the call, Mike. When President Biden came out and said semi-fascism to address the ultra MAGA Republicans in the Republican Party, they started to cry, because I think he hit it on the head with that.
Absolutely
one.
Right. He called it for what it was. And I just want to recommend another thing. People should look up a book called How Democracies Die. It can happen here.
Yes. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon, as he is in a undisclosed northern location here in Wisconsin. It's part of this civic media expansion that we are doing. And hopefully we'll be able to tell you a little bit more about what's going on with Brian's latest endeavors. But to learn more, you're going to have to go sign up at civicmedia.us for now to be the first to find out. You can sign up for those updates. One more segment left in the day. We'll be right back. Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian today. Got you on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. Evan on the board and Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign here in studio, broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios. You're listening on Devil Radio in Madison, the Shaw in Waukesha, and Radio from the Center, WRCE 1450 AM, 107.7 FM. And I'm getting all of the alphabet soup correct in my head today, Matt, so I'm just going to do a little pat on my own back here.
Loving the expansion of civic media. This is a great thing. This is a dream come true, not only for Crudy, but for all of us who've wanted to see progressive radio expand in Wisconsin and combat the nonsense that right-wing radio just dribbles out every day.
It's a reclamation of talk radio, and I'm so excited to be joined on the airwaves. We've got Kristen Bry doing As Goes Wisconsin from 11 to 2 across many of the stations here in the civic media team. We've got Pat Kreitlow doing Up North News with Pat Kreitlow from 8 to 11 on several of the stations. And so the voices that we're able to elevate and the alternative different content that we can provide, because it has been for too long, I think, here in Wisconsin, there just hasn't been an alternative.
Right.
It's just right-wing talk radio has gobbled up so much of the airwaves, and what we're hearing is a lot of people are finding it refreshing. So
it's really refreshing, you know, and it's not just national programming. It's really rooted local programming, which is crucial to the success of progressive radio. And so this vision that Crudy's had is coming to fruition, and it's just a great thing.
And if you want to learn more, go to civicmedia.us. You can sign up for updates, and maybe you'll get to learn where Brian is doing his undisclosed work from today. You can also join the show at any time, 844-967-2789. You can be like our friend Bill in Oconomowoc. Bill, what's on your mind this afternoon? Bill, do we have you? Going once? Going twice? All right, Bill, I'm going to put you back on hold, see if Evan can find you. You may have put us on mute. I know when Bill's driving around Oconomowoc, sometimes he does do that. But it is an interesting dynamic of the fact that we are going so many places around the state right now, and Brian's putting the miles on for his setting up all of these different
I hope he's getting reimbursed stations. For
oh yeah,
miles.
yeah, he's getting taken care of, and it's been a lot. Evan, do we have Bill now? Not yet. Okay, no Bill from Oconomowoc yet, so we'll see what we can do about getting Bill back.
But for too long, progressives have not responded properly in the media. I mean, we've gotten the crap beaten out of us on the media for way, way too long. And to see civic media respond to that, recognize that, you know, there's a huge problem here in Wisconsin with the right-wing talk radio dominating the airwaves, and we need to have intelligent progressive radio rooted in local communities to respond to that. It's just a wonderful thing, and they're making it happen. You're making it happen. So my hat's off to all of you.
And it's been a lot of fun doing it so far, but it's also important work, because I feel like for far too long, like you said, there wasn't really a response to the right-wing talk radio. And what I believe is a problem sometimes for progressives, and you see it where these issues that progressives care about, overwhelming support, 75-80% for a range of issues.
Yeah, gerrymandering, and abortion rights, limiting big money,
all of
politics,
that. And
medical marijuana, you name it.
And progressives sometimes just think, well, we've got the numbers, so eventually things will work out for us. And unfortunately, when you're talking about politics, things don't just become inevitable. Like, inevitability isn't what gets things done in politics. You have to put in the work. You have to be talking to people, and you have to be mobilizing individuals. And talk radio is an excellent platform to be able to do that. The right's known that, and everybody on the left side of the spectrum for politics has just for far too long been like, oh, well, we've got the support. Inevitably, this is going to pass. Inevitably, we're going to see what we want to see. And then you get things like gerrymandering and the takeover of elections and the ignoring of the demands of Wisconsinites, but you also see it around the country. And so it's how you get Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and Senate Majority Leader Devin Mayhew saying, well, this is a political stunt by Tony Evers calling for a process for the Constitution to be amended here in Wisconsin. And so it's very, very difficult work. There's a lot to be done, and I know Brian's working his tail off, and so I know he would much rather be here talking about these issues with you and I, but hopefully soon we'll have that ability to be able to do so. It looks like we got a couple of callers now lined up, Matt. So before the end of the show here, let's get to Karina. Karina, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Milwaukee, and I have a proposal. Maybe there is a way for us to install some sort of test to the people who are signing the bills on the basic knowledge.
What do you mean by that, Karina?
Well, I mean, like, they're signing the band for 15 weeks with an assumption that I can, as a female, swallow the camera, and it will end up in my vagina. I'm sorry.
Sorry, Karina. That's not actually how any of that pregnancy test works, so I don't know exactly what you're getting at there. I do believe that Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina is drastically out of touch with where Americans are on the issue, and I believe that there should be no place for the government to be making that decision. It should be between a woman and her doctor.
That was a reference to a lawmaker in Idaho that asked if a woman could swallow a camera to do, to do a test.
That's some interesting lawmakers out there.
Yeah,
I had not heard of that story. Squeeze in one more caller here before the end of the show. We got Dick and Madison calling in. Dick, what's on your mind today?
Oh, real quick. I'm going to sponsor a kegger here in the garage in conjunction with a Badger game. And also, do you think Trump is a flight risk? I personally do. And I could see maybe him and Putin living in exile together somewhere. Putin seems to be on his way out, too.
The fact that he's calling up 300,000 reservists from Russia and men are buying one-way tickets out of that country right now because they do not want to go fight his war in Ukraine is an indicator that you may be right, Dick. There may be a clock for Vladimir Putin in his country as well.
It's a very worrisome time, though. I mean, I'm worried about the doomsday clock because of his nuclear saber rattling yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I think... Biden's been cautious and not giving Zelensky every last weapon system that he wants. You know, there is the real possibility of this escalating into nuclear war, which would not help anybody.
No, that would not help one bit. And it has been, I mean, Biden has delivered a lot of the requests, but like you said, he has not gone as far as Zelensky's asked in cases. It's provided support for Ukraine to be able to fend for itself, but it seems like Russia's losing that. The Ukraine is getting more and more territory back, and so it's going to be interesting. Winter's coming, for lack of a better term, to see where this is going to go for the next several weeks, and hopefully there can be a quick resolution to the fighting and ending that. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon, but thank you so much to Matt Rothschild for joining me this hour.
Quite welcome.
I will be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. Talk to you then.